Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 58th Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Northern Illinois District Convention, and it is a good day here in Chicago at Concordia University Chicago, and lots of folks who will be making their way from the opening service, divine service, back to the convention hall here in just a little bit. I'm hanging out in the vendor and exhibitor area, and joining me today is Mickey Wagner from Concordia University Wisconsin. It's a pleasure to get to talk with you today. It's always nice to get to hear from our friends at Concordia University Wisconsin.
Good morning, and thank you for allowing me to be with you here.
It's good to have you here. It's fun to get to talk with our friends at Concordia University Wisconsin and to officially get to say thank you for being underwriters and partnering with us for Faith and Family, so we can share so many great stories here on Faith and Family and do what we can to support faithful family life. And it's good to hear what's going on at Concordia University Wisconsin. Mickey, you serve as Director of Alumni and Parent Relations in the Office of Advancement at Concordia University. And an alumna as well, correct?
That is correct. Thank you. Yes.
Well, let's talk about why is it important to stay connected after leaving? You know, after you leave university, alumnus of Concordia University Chicago, coming back on campus today, there are lots of memories that came flooding in as I walked on campus. Why is it important to you to stay connected with the alumni of Concordia University Wisconsin?
Well, I think I'm going to go back to a little bit your faith and family, and that is a lot of people had a great experience while they attended Concordia, Wisconsin, that a lot of them met their spouse there.
Sure.
And as an alumni director, I get to hear a lot of the faith and family stories. And, staying connected, I think, is important because there's a lot of changes. We want to help people professionally. There's a lot of opportunity that they can grow professionally. Also, personally, we have events that go on personally. They also can find out the different programs they offer to recommend somebody mm-hmm. to attend the school. But I think just coming back to it and seeing how we've changed and grown, meeting the professors that have been there, networking. We have on LinkedIn, if people are connected that way, we have 20 or 13,000 people that are on there, and you can reconnect with them. And we have 26,000 alumni. So a lot of great things.
Now, for you, just recently returning to Concordia University, Wisconsin, what was it like coming back on campus?
Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting to be involved with that environment, with the students and the energy. But what's neat, too, is we have our alumni, and the students are so variety mm-hmm. in different ages. You know, we have our traditional students. We have about 8,000 students in half and half. 4,000 are the undergraduate, but then we have all the graduate students or students that are taking it online or students are going to the centers, you know.
Well, and I see part of your responsibility is parent relations. How do you help parents making that transition, especially for the traditional student who's coming to Concordia University? For some of them, that might be the first time away from home. What do you do in terms of building relationships with parents and helping their families make that transition?
I think that is the hard part, because the parents, once that student is enrolled, the university in general says goodbye to the parents, except for through me, because they want that student to become an adult. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're and be independent. So I guess bridging that gap, I sent out a couple of newsletters. It's real easy for me because I am a parent of a college student. and that they're not going to tell mom and dad exactly what's going on. And so we encourage them to go to the website and make mm-hmm. sure they see what's going on. Then we do a newsletter, I said, three times a year. And just connecting through their child that way, including if Skyping or that, and just the opportunities that what's available to their student mm-hmm. on campus, from our ministry program, our counseling program, getting involved. So I guess encourage them to encourage their student.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, yes, we want our students to become adults, our children to become adults, and to act like mm-hmm. adults when they go to college. But there are laws.
Correct.
that many of us think, well, if I pay for my student to attend a college or university, then I should have all access to all their student records, all that information, would know what their grades are. But there are federal laws that prevent anyone from having access to those student records, including parents. And And so it that's the time to start developing, letting the little bird leave the nest, right?
Correct. And there are things that you can do. Sure. There's forms that they can mm-hmm. sign, you know, that they have access to the information. Even as a parent that have a child out of state, is having a form for a medical. You need to have that signed, because if your child gets hurt and in the hospital, and if that form's not signed, you don't have access to it. If I can tell a quick story about a parent that I met at actually one of these conferences, their child was attending for the first time in freshman year, is always a difficult. It's a transition year. And their child was with an atheist, was their roommate. And they were surprised about that. And I said, we serve, you know, majority of Lutheran, but all, you know, other children, they're not denied, they came to Concordia for the programming. And I explained what a wonderful opportunity for her child. You know, God has plans. Mm-hmm. And her being there, she can be a testament to this child, or I shouldn't say child, she's an adult, a student, that she can be a witness those 4 years, mm-hmm. and that she has the opportunity, she has the services of our campus pastor, our counseling, that if she had trouble working with this roommate, you know, that she can have these resources that you wouldn't have at a non-Christian university. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we have this student for 4 years that she'll become a Christian, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Going to college is like life in the real world, or at least a little step, or, you know, gradually stepping into life in the real world. Well, thanks for sharing that story. What's going on at Concordia University, Wisconsin today?
We've got a lot of things going on. I can tell you about our program, but tonight our men's basketball team is playing, made the dance. They're in the NCAA tournament tonight, playing against Stevens Point, UW Stevens Point. So we're hoping that they'll make another win and make it to the next bracket. But it's the second time in our history that we've made it.
That's exciting! So congratulations.
It is exciting, and I guess a little update on some of our things is mm-hmm. Maybe not everybody knows, but we are Ann Arbor and Wisconsin are now one university. Mm-hmm. And Ann Arbor has three academic schools, and the Mequon campus, the Wisconsin campus, has 6 academic schools. And right now we have enrollment, as I mentioned before, of 8,000. Kind of split that, and Ann Arbor right now is up to 800. And we have 22 master programs at Concordia and 4 doctorate programs. So that's why you see mm-hmm. more of the master program number of students graduating. Last year we had 1,600 students graduate.
Wow.
And it was split between undergraduate and graduates.
How do you make education accessible? You know, talking about graduate school, I'm thinking, you know, working adults, working professionals. How do you make education accessible?
Well, it's really, we have a lot of blended programs. Mm-hmm. We do have the traditional programming, but even the traditional students can take online courses. And so we have online courses, we have centers, we have 10 centers, one in St. Louis, mm-hmm. 2 in Michigan, and then in 10 in Milwaukee, or not why should that area, we have Green Bay, Appleton, mm-hmm. Beloit, so there's several different
around
places.
Wisconsin,
Madison. So there's a lot of opportunity, and even the people at the centers can take the blended courses. And if you go into our, I went and toured our online, and it's very detailed how they do the online courses. They have academic advisors, so it's a neat experience. And it, like you said, it makes it flexible, because it also helps you graduate on time. If you aren't a uh-huh. graduate, because so many times you go to a college or university, the class that you need is not offered at the time you can take it. So you can take that, and it's a little bit more flexibility with online courses.
Sure. Well, that's great. How can we find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Oh, you can go cuw.edu.
Yep. Or, you know, they can also go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you there, too. Well, thank you so much, Mickey. It was a pleasure to meet you today and get to spend some time talking with you. Mickey Wagner, Director of Alumni and Parent Relations in the Office of Advancement at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Great opportunity.
Thanks. Nice to talk with you.
You too.
We're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran Bible Translators here in just a little bit. Looking forward to talking with them. It is great to spend some time here at the convention. And lots of people coming in, making their way back from the Divine Service this morning. And it's probably going to get a little bit louder here in the vendor area. Joining me now at the table, We have Michael Ferguson. He's the Director of Advancement for Lutheran Bible Translators. And, welcome to welcome to the KFUO table. It's good to have some time talking with you today, Michael.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here, and it's great to be at the Northern Illinois District Convention. So,
yeah.
It's a great time.
And, you know, last time we talked, I think you had come down to St. Louis. So now I'm on your turf here. I'm in Northern Illinois now. So I guess I have to play by your rules.
Welcome to the cold. And Bears fan and Cubs fan, you'll fit right in.
So the Lutheran Bible Translator's office, not too far from here, right?
It's in Aurora. It's about 35 minutes, 40 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. And so not too bad of a drive. So right in the backyard here.
Now, obviously, LBT, you have those serving around the globe, really, for Lutheran Bible Translators. What happens here in the office in the Chicago area in Aurora?
Well, what happens in the office here? I'm Director of Advancement, so there's the fundraising piece and our donor relation piece, but most importantly is really a lot of the missionary support. So, recruitment for new missionaries and also supporting those that are in the field, and of course our financial services office is here as well, and the executive director. We have a new executive director, as you know, who came on last June, Mike Rodewald. So real excited to have him with us as well.
I saw he was out and about not too long ago. He was, I was following on,
he was in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia,
yeah. It's really exciting. Thanks for asking. We were looking at some new fields there, some new partnerships, getting the ball rolling there, and hope to have those partnerships going forward here and being able to serve overseas some more. And to bring God's word to those who don't have it. So, really exciting time.
I think the name Lutheran Bible Translators is pretty obvious, but for someone not familiar with Lutheran Bible Translators, what is the work of LBT?
Well, the work of LBT is we actually partner. Our missionaries actually partner with people from those countries. So, we do a lot of not necessarily the direct translation, but make sure that the translation is really accurate and really reflective of His Word. Also, a literacy piece. So we oftentimes, these people groups, this is the first thing they see written in their heart language is God's Word. So doing that, and then also scripture engagement, so that when they see His Word, how do we use it? What's it mean to us?
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, we're going to translate a Bible and here it is and see you buy it. And it takes a long time. It's 8 to 14 years of work. And so, but it's great work. And the lives that are changed is just amazing. If I can just share a quick story, one of our missionaries was telling me, and he's got a picture of this young girl. It's the Nsinga language from Zambia. And, they had just completed, I believe, the book of Mark, and there's a picture of her, and she's probably 10, 12, 13 years old, and her eyes are just lit up. He had given her this book after a church service, and they took a picture of her impromptu, and the smile on her face and the bright in her eyes is like, that's my language. You know, why is this guy giving me this book and realize this is my language? So really changed the lives.
I could only imagine what that would be like to be able to finally get to hear God's word or to read God's word in your own language.
It really, you know, I've heard it said, it's like, finally, God knows me. Mm. That's my language. God knows me.
So. Wow. And there are Lutheran Bible Translator missionaries serving all around the globe. Yeah, a lot of work in Africa.
Parts of Asia, and again, opening up new fields as well as we go forward. As you know, we're just coming off, or we're on the heels of celebrating our 50th anniversary. We started in 1964 in Orange, California, and moved here to Aurora in 1984. But we're still celebrating. We're wrapping those celebrations up, but looking forward to the next 50 years as well.
Well, that's exciting. And we can find out more about Lutheran Bible Translators online.
Online, lbt.org.
Very good.
And encourage people to visit that. And it has a rundown of all our missionaries and all the work that we're doing, and that has been completed as well.
And I love how you post all those all the missionaries and their stories on the website. That's a great resource. I love going on there and just reading their stories. Had the privilege of talking with some of the LBT missionaries about a month ago, and it was great to talk with the Bunkowskis and the Federowitz families and hear about their work.
Well, yeah, both of those families, and of course Federowitz, their mom and dad and all the kids.
Right. So second generation.
Second generation, too. But what a blessing we are. It is to have those missionaries with us and out in the field.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversations with our friends here at the Northern Illinois District Convention. Michael Ferguson, Director of Advancement of Lutheran Bible Translators, thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thanks for being here as well.
Thanks. We're going to go. We're going to continue our broadcast here at the Northern Illinois District Convention as we're broadcasting live on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Last March, a shocking story broke about government-backed research on very premature babies. Parents approached weren't told it'd likely result in blindness, neurological damage, and death for some babies involved. Oxygen monitors in the study were intentionally rigged to give false readings. Dr. Ellen Guttmacher, nephew of a former Planned Parenthood president, said, "We stand by this study." Now, compounding the problem and endangering future participants, rules for oversight of such studies is being transferred from the Ethics Office to the National Institutes of Health. This is the very agency that conducted this appalling study, and it adds a Planned Parenthood agenda that babies' lives are expendable. Did I mention they're using your tax dollars to fund it?
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Anna Ilona Mussman about overcomplicated motherhood. We'll have Dr. John Nordling debunk arguments for women's ordination. We'll discuss This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Rosebro, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. Psalm 145, verse 9. This March, the LCMS focuses on the mercy that God has shown us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That mercy frees us to care for others, to acknowledge and value them, listen to them, forgive them, have compassion for them, speak up for them, and love them. How can this mercy flow through you? Learn more at lcms.org/themes/march.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to thank you, my Drive Time friends, for all of the wonderful things that you've been saying about Reformation Rush Hour. It's a pleasure to spend your evening commute with you. If you haven't been listening, you've been missing some fantastic topics, guests, and lighthearted fun. So please be one of my Drive Time friends. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m. in St. Louis, KFUO.org worldwide.
Thank you. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 58th LCMS Northern Illinois District Convention. Joining me at the table now, Deaconess Kristen Wasilek, Director of Deaconess Programs here at Concordia University, Chicago. I almost said Wisconsin. We just got done talking with our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Deaconess Kristen, it's good to have some time to talk with you today.
Great to be here, Andy.
Well, and welcome back. This is your first year back on campus as director after serving out in the field for a while. And you were always connected with the program, still supervising some deaconess interns through over the last few years. But now back on campus, what's it like being back on campus?
A lot's happened in 10 years. It's great, too. Fantastic. We have a new president. We have the technology has exploded. The way we do classes, teaching has changed. The students have changed in those 10 years. So it's a lot of fun.
How about deaconess ministry? How has deaconess ministry changed over 10, 15 years?
You know, I am really glad you asked that, because one of the things that I've been noticing about deaconess ministry is that so much more of it is done virtually. Mm-hmm. Now, most women working outside the home, most having, even if they are at home, they're usually home with children, and they're not able to talk or think or plan until the wee hours of the morning or night. And so a lot of the times I'm talking to people or texting with people or Facebooking with people at odd hours, and that certainly wasn't the case 10 years ago.
That's true. You are an avid Facebooker, I've noticed.
I've
enjoyed all the family
touch.
Pictures,
Keep in touch.
Well, that's great. That you're right. Technology certainly does impact how we serve and just our daily lives. It certainly does. And so we've got some high-tech deaconesses today, it sounds like.
Need to be. Yeah.
Well, tell us about the deaconess program here at Concordia University Chicago.
Well, wish us happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, we are 35 years old here at CUC.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been around, it's hard to believe, since 1980. And dating myself, I came as a student in the deaconess program in 1981, so I've been around for most of those 35 years, so it's been an exciting time to really see. We've had over 200 deaconesses graduate from our program in that time, both from the bachelor's degree program and from our master's degree level programs, just to know that all those women are out there. Some are serving actively in called ministries of churches or institutions. Some are home with families or tending to other needs. Or some even have gone into other areas and brought that deaconess training into social work or teaching or counseling services.
I'm glad you mentioned that deaconess training. What makes up the deaconess formation?
So every deaconess at the undergraduate level gets a major in theology and then has theology courses even on top of that, because all our deaconess courses are theological courses. In addition, they take classes like counseling skills and death and dying or loss and mourning classes. And they are able to choose from a minor area of study, for instance, counseling, social work, psychology, biblical languages, things that are complementary to deaconess service. So by the time they come out, they've got that major in theology, and then they also go for a fifth year of a paid internship. So if you're familiar with how deaconess pastors work, that would be like a vicarage.
Sure.
So it's full-time, they're paid, they're out anywhere in the world, possibly. If they want to go to a foreign country and explore mission service, we've placed deaconess interns into missions, 12, 13 countries over the years. So,
what are deaconesses preparing? What is that formation then? What does that education prepare them to do out in the field? How do deaconesses serve?
Well, I think the most important thing is for us to nurture an attitude of service. Mm-hmm. So if somebody throws up on the floor of the narthex, they're willing to clean it up. It doesn't matter if we need to go into a slum or a very rich person's home who's in, you know, just to be able to look at people for who they are as God's people, God's children, and not be concerned where they come from or what kind of baggage they're carrying. So that attitude of service, we try to nurture from the get-go when they come as freshmen or if they come as master's students. Either way, we really talk about that, that whole theology of mercy, of bringing God's mercy to bear in the lives of people. In addition, we focus on spiritual care. So walking alongside people as they go through the crises of life, and how to bring God's word of law and gospel to bear in their lives, understanding a theology of the cross, so that we're not trying to make them feel like they've got to get happy, you know, but they can cry and cry out to the Lord. So,
how, if someone's interested in finding out more about becoming a deaconess, how can they find out more about that?
An easy way to do that would be to go to the Concordia website, which is cuchicago.edu, and just put in deaconess in the search, and it'll come up, or they could do /deaconess, either way. They can go to the LCMS website and do the same thing, and my contact information is there. Or they can email me directly, which is Kristin, K-R-I-S-T-I-N .Wasilak, W-A-S-S-I-L-A-K, at cuchicago.edu.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Deaconess Kristin, for being our guest today and sharing with us about the longstanding Deaconess program. Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
The Deaconess program here at Concordia University Chicago. Deaconess Kristin Wasilak, Director of Deaconess Programs. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
God's blessings. We're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran Church Charities. We're going to try to talk with the Comfort Dogs. I don't know if we'll get any answer from them today. They all seem pretty chill. So hopefully we'll get to talk with them. We're going to talk with Tim Hetzner as well at Lutheran Church Charities. So we're broadcasting from the Northern Illinois District Convention, and it's great to be here. Lots of people in the convention hall, and it's just great to see so many people here from the Northern Illinois District gathering around and getting ready to, the convention has actually already begun and with service, and so now they're coming into the convention hall. So joining us here at the table now, we've got a couple of people, and some of them, some of our friends have fur and paws. Oh, Tim's got a little... Tim Hetzner, president of Lutheran Church Charities, LCC, and Tim, it's good to see you in person. We get to talk on the phone every once in a while. You brought some friends. Who did you bring with you today?
Well, I brought Martin, who is one of our K9 military dogs, and I bought Luther, who is one of our comfort dogs. So I got Martin Luther here with us today. You know, so this I think is a first with KFOR. Or have you been around that long?
No, I don't remember ever interviewing Martin Luther. So.
Well, here you go.
Now, these guys and gals are some of the friendliest four-legged friends that I've ever met.
Yeah.
They're all very, very gentle and quiet.
They're all golden retrievers, and they exist to connect with people and show mercy and compassion and bring the presence of Christ with the handler and proclamation of Christ with who we talk to.
Now, let's talk about, you mentioned a new program, K9?
K9. It's a... we're taking our comfort dogs, and as long as they're handled with a veteran, to serve other veterans' families and military and their families, because that's a tremendous need out there and ministry opportunity. So as long as our dog is handled by a veteran, which we have here, Jim is a military veteran, works with us, and goes out and to connect with those families and to serve those families and help engage those families, because many times they're caught in a community where they don't know anybody because their husband or wife has been deployed. And so we're there to serve them and the hospitals and other places where military and veterans are.
Sure. Well, you know what? Let's make some more room and let's let Jim come in here too. So let's see if we can see if we can make some room here and get Jim in. I'll move my chair over.
Okay.
Although Luther really seems to want to talk too. Luther wants to stick around and talk here. Here you go, Jim.
make some room for you there. There we go.
So, Jim, what is... we have Jim Morrison with... is that right?
Yes.
Lutheran Church Charities. Jim, what is your involvement with the CARE 9 program?
I am involved in the advancement of the ministry, making connections with people who can be our supporters and be our partners in the ministry. And I have been doing this since September, and it's just been a great blessing for me.
Well, very good, very good. And so what's your background? How did you get connected? How did you get involved with the Comfort Dogs?
I've known Tim for about 7 or 8 years, and middle of August, Tim called me and said to me, "You're a veteran, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, we're starting this new ministry to veterans. We'd like you to be involved." And I said, "Great." So I came up and attended their conference last year, their big the Comfort Dog Conference, and went from there.
Well, very good. And so what have you been up to lately with the dogs?
Well, we've been all over. We've been invited in and out of schools with homicides, suicides, other things. We've been down to the National Conference of Veterans, Military Chaplains, down in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
We're down there, just came back from Best Practices out in Omaha, or
Arizona,
yeah. I was thinking, where was I? Phoenix, that's where I was.
I'm sure you have quite the schedule. I don't know where you're coming or going.
I don't know where I'm coming or going. But always invited out to veteran events, VA hospitals, veteran gatherings that we have. Jim, you just did one in Addison, didn't you, here just recently?
Yes, just on Tuesday evening we went to an American Legion gathering, to an event, and presented our dogs. One of the American Legion members is one of our CARE 9 veteran handlers, and he invited us to come out and just talk to their meeting and tell them what we're all about. And of course, everyone is always very, very amazed when they hear what we do, and very, very, very receptive.
Bringing the dogs to veterans and to connect with them, what have you found in response? How do the veterans and the dogs connect?
Well, the dog comes to the veteran in a totally non-judgmental and comforting way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't ask any questions, doesn't talk back, doesn't tell any secrets, and allows the veteran to interact with the dog in any way they see. And we find it to be very soothing and very comforting.
Tim, go ahead.
Well, one of the things with veterans, too, they will not open up unless it's another veteran. And that we see over and over veterans that have carried things around for 20-some years and that they, uh-huh, they haven't told their wives or anyone else. And when they see the dogs, they start to relax, and they know that there's another veteran that's safe. Mm-hmm. And they can just open up about what happens. And, you know, there are 22 veterans a day that and that's a low figure, commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And most of those are over the age of 50. So it's a tremendous ministry out there, and many of them are unchurched. And so it's a tremendous ministry for our churches to be involved with, and our military chaplains. You know, the mm-hmm, LCMS started the military chaplaincy ministry years ago, and next to the Southern Baptists have the most military chaplains of any denomination. So the LCMS is well positioned in serving our military and our veterans. So with the partnership with LCMS and with the Barnabas Ministry of, mm-hmm, helping churches, we're engaging many of our chaplains. You know, I just talked to a chaplain down in Texas yesterday that's being trained tomorrow.
Wow.
To be handled with one of our dogs down there, Phoebe. And we'll use that to go out in his line of work as an active military chaplain to engage with the families that he ministers to and serves. So all over. I mean, it's a huge mission field, and you know, if you're gonna be proclaimers of Jesus Christ, you got to go where the people are that are not inside of our churches.
Sure.
To engage them where they're at and to on their terms and to serve them.
Have you found that that you do from time to time have the opportunity to continue a conversation? A dog kind of starts the conversation.
Yep.
One of the Comfort Dogs starts the conversation. You have an opportunity to To listen as well.
To listen and to pray. But even after the visit, after the engagement, each of our dogs have their own Facebook page, email, and Twitter.
They're very popular, by
yes.
the way.
And so people will engage or will email or message one of the dogs, which, of course, the veteran is the scribe for that dog, and to continue a relationship. And vice versa. We're getting contacted now by military families. You know, Jim was involved with a family down in, where, South Carolina?
Jacksonville, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm. That she had contacted us, and she was... she needed some sheets, and her husband was deployed. And she had two children, and the third child they had told to abort because it had physical defects. And they wouldn't abort, and then they have the child, and now it needs medical attention. It's 2.5 years old. And as we found out, she needed financial help, and she really didn't have a base of support around her where she was living. And so we put that out there and raised more than enough money for the needs that she has and continue to provide that support. And Jim, you went down to visit with her, with one of our other veterans, Norm.
Yes, we did. We went down to Jacksonville and sat with her for about 3.5 hours with all three of her children and just met and learned of this woman that has such great faith and positive attitude and dealing with the things she's dealing with, being a military wife with her husband away. Mm-hmm. With three children, one of them with many, many special needs. It was just an inspiration to us, and we've developed a wonderful relationship with her.
That's wonderful.
See, veterans love to serve. Sure. And so if you can engage them in serving others, you know, and help them do that, that's a help to them, and it's a help to the people in which they serve. And so that's what we're doing. You know, the Care 9 ministry was just launched in August of 2014. So it's half a year off the ground here. But I got to tell you, we're taking our comfort dogs and dual vesting them as long as there's veterans with them. And just a fantastic support and outreach. And of course, partnerships, because it's all about partnerships with the people of God, partnerships with people that share your mission and share your theology and share passion to reach the unchurched, which we do.
Absolutely. I know, obviously, everybody knows about the comfort dogs and the work that you do with comfort dogs and now the Care 9. What are some of the other things that Lutheran Church Charities has been up to in the last year?
Well, we do disaster response, so sure. We have responded to every disaster that has occurred out there by putting boots on the ground and also paws. We also do an ongoing ministry of helping families through our churches and working with our churches to help them look at ways in which they can engage and reach out into their community and to touch lives with the mercy, compassion, presence, and proclamation of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of them feel that, you know, it's all about getting people into church. Well, you know, Jesus never invited anyone to synagogue or temple. He was always sending people out to where the people were, the lowly places. And that's what we try to help churches engage in doing that. And I tell you, when they do, because there's tremendous need out there. And the worse our situation in the United States gets, the greater that need is for the message and the saving hope of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking some time. And Jim, thank you so much. And Martin over there, Thank you. And who do we have with Martin here?
This is Beth Nielsen. She works with LCC staff. Her father's on staff at Concordia Seminary, does the vicars and deaconess program there. So, hey, I want to thank KFUO because you guys are doing some creative, innovative stuff and getting a message out there worldwide that you don't find in all radio stations. And so keep up the great work, and we really appreciate you for what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm hoping we can partner on the new all-dog hour, the dog radio. Don't you think that would be a great program?
I think we could have a show, the Martin and Luther Show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, from Lutheran Church Charities. Thanks for being on Faith and Family today on Worldwide KFUO. It was good to get to talk with you.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. And thank you, Martin. Well, we are broadcasting live from the 58th LCMS, LCMS Convention of the Northern Illinois District. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk with President Dr. Gard in just a little bit, hopefully. And he's addressing the assembly right now. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue more Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Jesus once said to the panicking disciples during the Sea of Galilee storm, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. The words of Jesus do have a calming effect upon you and me. After all, they come from the God-man of Calvary. I invite you to join me for some soothing words and music on Moments of Assurance this Sunday at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 58th Convention for the LCMS Northern Illinois District, and it is a good day here. Lots of great things, lots of vendors and exhibitors here, and the assembly is also in place now. They started with a divine service this morning, and now they're gathering in the convention hall, and things are underway. You can probably hear things running in the background. We're hoping to talk with Dr. Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, here in just a little bit. He just addressed the assembly, so hopefully we can get a little bit of time to talk with him. Coming up throughout the day, a number of things on the convention schedule. Well, hopefully we might try to check in throughout the day with some of the programs if we can as well. Well, Buzz, we're going to take just a quick break and see if we can grab Dr. Gard here and talk with him. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
It's okay if you miss a program on Worldwide KFUO because you can download them as a podcast at your convenience. There are so many programs at Worldwide KFUO that are centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't miss one of them. You can download one or all at kfuo.org or subscribe on iTunes. That's kfuo.org, the messenger of good news.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
A long-standing tradition at Worldwide KFUO is to broadcast two Sunday morning worship services. From Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County, Senior Pastor Dennis Castens presides during the early worship service at 8 a.m. The live late worship service at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, where Pastor Tim Ostermeyer leads worship. Hear the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ during Sunday morning worship on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 58th LCMS Northern Illinois District Convention. Joining me at the table now, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Gard, President of Concordia University Chicago. Dr. Gard, thanks so much for giving us some of your time today. I know it's a busy day for you.
Well, I'm so glad you allowed me to be here and to join your listeners this beautiful morning in Chicago.
It is, it's kind of a chilly morning here
in
Chicago.
But the sun is out.
Now, you've been at Concordia now how many months?
I arrived here last August, okay. So I've kind of lost count of months. I think maybe eight.
This summer will be a full year. How are things going here at Concordia now that you're here and had at least one full semester now?
I could not be happier. I am so blessed to be a part of this university, this great heritage, the great future, the wonderful present with incredible students, faculty, staff. It's a great joy to be here and to know that I have the blessing from God, for mm-hmm. whatever reason, to be some small part of this incredible arm of the church as we're grounded in that gospel of Jesus Christ and have this chance to work with young people and graduate students and to help form them into servants of Christ Jesus.
As an alumnus of Concordia University, coming back on campus, it's been almost 16 years since I've been on campus.
Welcome home.
Thank you. It was good to, last night I came on campus and it was kind of dark so I couldn't see everything, but coming onto campus, just a flood of emotions. And then this morning walking across campus and seeing so many things that looked familiar, so many things that it was like I was here just left yesterday. So many things look the same, but yet so many things that are new here at Concordia University as well. To walk across campus, and it was nice and quiet out there this morning. A few students, they're all on break right now, but Concordia University Chicago has been around for a long time.
150 years.
150 years. We just celebrated that.
We did.
Just recently. Things have certainly changed since the beginning of Concordia. Concordia Teachers College, I believe it was.
It was actually the Addison Lutheran Teachers Seminary.
ALTS, that's right.
Yes, all male German-speaking teachers, which was the need in 1864.
It was a seminary to prepare Lutheran teachers, to prepare
Precisely.
Teachers to teach children to specifically with that emphasis on the gospel, with the emphasis on God's word in education, Christian education. What is Concordia University Chicago today?
Today, Concordia University Chicago continues to be, in my opinion, the finest preparation for church workers, teachers, DCEs, pre-seminary, deaconess, church music, and so many others that come through this university. And what hasn't changed, let me begin with that, what mm-hmm. hasn't changed is the foundation in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our mission is always to be seen through that and conducted through that, so that we form students now for those churchly vocations, including teachers. We have an amazing, incredible Lutheran teacher education program, but we also train teachers for the public schools. Mm-hmm. They too are formed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that has not changed and never will. This is our reason for being, what makes us different than any other university in this area. They say there are 60 universities within a 50-mile radius, which is quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Concordia different? It's that, and it's because that we so firmly are committed to the gospel, that we understand human beings as being both created by God and so loved by God that he would give his only begotten son for them. And that's how we see every single student. Now, what we do in terms of programs, we have a total of, between undergraduate and graduate, over 100 different majors, degrees ranging from associates through doctoral degrees.
Mm-hmm.
In our graduate program, it's worldwide. We have students through the internet that are we'll never actually physically see because they are way across the world, yet we mm-hmm. are able to influence that. So Concordia has changed in many ways because we're no longer just a Lutheran teachers college. We do that.
And you speak in English now, too.
We speak in English. In fact, over 30% of our undergraduate student body is Hispanic. which is quite a change also, because we are an Hispanic-serving institution with this incredibly diverse student body, which is just marvelous for our undergraduates. It's side-by-side with folks that come from around the world, different backgrounds than their own, very broadening, helps you see what the world is. And that's a real joy. But with all these different programs, we're still grounded in that central reality that what makes everything have meaning and purpose is not what we do in this world, but it's what Christ has done for us. And that remains the center of Concordia University Chicago.
Walking across campus, one of the things that reminds me of that, walking across campus this morning and seeing the chapel bell still out there. It was nice to see that bell is out there to remind everyone, that call to worship.
Every day at 11 o'clock, in the evenings as well, that bell will ring and the community will gather. I just have this great privilege of being able to go to chapel every day that I'm on campus, and I am thankful to the Lord for that, because I do need His word. And I just want to comment too, you talked about your own experience as alumnus. It's amazing to me the draw this university has on our alumni, the deep way in which this school has impacted their lives so that they come back on this campus and they're coming home. I get to meet our alumni all the time, and it's so unlike my own undergraduate experience at a different college where I've had no connection with that school. And frankly, don't think about it. Our alumni never forget their time here.
Sure.
And I get to live right across the street from Addison Hall with the iconic pillars. And I look out my window, and there they are. And I just think how many thousands and thousands of faculty, staff, and especially students have passed under those pillars. As well as I understand, a lot of first kisses and engagements have happened to take place on those under those pillars. So there's lots of history there that only two people in the world know about.
You're right, though. It is iconic. I mean, those pillars are, they're on the everything you see from Concordia, on the logo now.
Yes.
The pillars. I remember living in one of the residence halls that had a great view of the pillars as well. I mean, that really does, it is iconic for Concordia.
It is. Yes.
They've been there a long time, and
100 years in this location. Yep, that building
survived a fire.
It did. It continues to be a great building.
Well, with just about a minute left, I want to talk about your time here at Concordia. You come to us, Rear Admiral. And
yes.
How does your experience, your previous experience, how has that served you well here at Concordia, coming in as the Rear Admiral?
I'm not the Rear Admiral here. I'm a pastor. And that's what I am in the Navy as well. The Navy experience, and I'm very grateful for it. I'm still in the Navy Reserve. I have about a year and a half left, and then I will retire from the Navy, not from the university. But that great time has taught me first how deeply I love young people, because our military is comprised of very young people.
Sure.
I kind of laughed the other day because I realized that places I've been and the bad guys that have been out there who wanted to kill me, suddenly I realized nobody can intimidate me anymore. Don't even try. But most important, I do want to add this, is what I've learned in those years. By being a pastor in uniform, is just how absolutely vital it is to proclaim Jesus Christ, to let others know of His love, His grace, His embrace. And that's what we do as a church. That's what we do at this university. And that's what your radio station does. And together, we continue to let the world know about the Lord who loves them.
Amen. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Gard, President, Concordia University Chicago, thanks so much for being our guest today.
It was my honor. Thank you.
God's blessings.
You too.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.